and to try to preach a little bit. In the book of Acts chapter 17, if you got your Bible tonight, Acts chapter 17, this is a couple of verses on my heart tonight to preach. In Acts chapter 17, and we'll start reading if you'll look there in verse number 13, Acts chapter 17 and verse number 13. The Bible said, "But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. They that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and said, and some said, why will this babbler say, what will this babbler say? Other some, he seemeth to be setting forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine world thou speakest is? For thou bringest strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelling not in temple made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and determined the times were appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. They that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by heart and man's device. And at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among whom which was Dionysus, the Agripparite, and the woman named Damaris, and others with them. Well, I read all that to say tonight that when Paul got to Athens, he was there just really waiting for Timothy and Silas, and that he was going to go from there and go to Corinth. And he wasn't really there in Athens to preach or to establish a church. There was no church established there, as far as we know, right here in the Scripture. He had been to Thessalonica, and God had done some great things there. There's much persecution in that city. And then here, Paul, when he gets there from Berea unto Athens, the Bible said that he, in verse 16, he was stirred. He saw the whole the city given to idolatry, and what that basically means, there was false gods everywhere. Athens was full of sculptured idols and inscriptions under every idol. That they said that you could find an idol as good as you could a man in that city. That's how many idols that they had in that city. And it said that they thought maybe Paul walked down them streets there and read the inscriptions under these idols and these sculptures that made much boast of these men that looked at them as a deity or their god that they worshipped. And Paul got stirred up about that because he knew there's in deception. And therefore he disputed in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the market daily with them that met with him. That was a marketplace in that day and that time. That's where they met to give out the news. That's where they went to debate. That's where they had a forum that people come and just talk with Paul. Knew that's where they met. He went down there and preached to them. Amen. And when he preached to them, that's when they got stirred up. And some of the philosophers, the Epicureans, and the Epicureans were like modern day evolutionists. They denied God. They denied the existence of God. They worshiped the earth. They thought the earth is governed by chance, and it just happened like this. And they didn't know nothing about God. They're ignorant of who God was. And we live in a day and now we never thought the day would come that people would deny the very existence of God and who God is. But it just didn't happen now. You go back to the Epicureans and the man that started that, Epicurea, these people, my friend, listen, they was governed by the chance. They were sensualists. They were pleasure lovers. And that's the way they lived. They took the philosophy that if it feels good, do it. They took the philosophy that they're own God and they can do what they want to do. And Paul was dealing with that kind of people. Then the Stoics, we look at them, he said the Stoics. And the Stoics were, they said the world was God. That's why they looked at it, that the world was God. Well, that's no more than that Mother Earth crowd today, amen, that believes in worshiping the earth and taking care of the earth. Amen. And them tree lovers, tree huggers, all that crowd, environmentalists, all that crazy nuts. Amen. I tell you what, man, have any sense about hug a tree? Amen. That's right. Thank God I'm glad for Calvary's tree and what Christ did on the cross. But I'll tell you what, these people here in the day right here, and they were self-righteous people. And Paul preached to them, and they brought Paul. They said, you're speaking strange things. They said he's a sinner for the strange gods, because he preached Christ and the resurrection. They didn't believe or know anything about that. And that right there, they took him and brought him to Areopagus, which he was a judge in that Mars Hill area. That they went and took people, and the judge would judge whether these men, what kind of truth these men was telling, according to what they believed, the customs they believed. I was reading one day, today, they said, I believe it was Socrates, one of them, that was judged there on Mars Hill and was put to death. But I know one thing, thank God, God was in charge of the apostle Paul, and he wasn't going to face anything that God wouldn't allow him to go through. And the Bible said right here that he had brought strange things to their ears. Well, I'm going to tell you that you'd be surprised of things that I've preached down through the years in Baptist churches that was strange to them. Amen. It's sad this day that they think we're preaching some strange doctrine because we preach the gospel and because we make much of Christ and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They make Jesus like human man now, and they've tried to make him like one of us. That's why they write all them new versions to try to make them sound like they talking like we talk. But I'll tell you what, I'll stick to the old book tonight. I know that is the inspired word of God. And somebody said, you believe all of it? Every bit. I don't know of anything wrong with this book tonight. The problem's not with the book, the problem's with us. Amen. Until we get back to seeing what we are and who God is, we'll never have revival anyway. God is God, we're men, and we need the help of God. And here Paul is talking to a bunch of ignorant people. I mean, there's ignorant, friend. But thank God he didn't hold back preaching to them. And he told them about, thank God he said, you're too superstitious. Amen. And then he said, you got an altar to the unknown God. And this is what he's basically saying. And the reason unknown was there because they had so many gods, they didn't know who God was. Amen. Is that not what America's trying to do tonight? It's not the Lord Jesus. That's the true and certain God. It's this God or this God or this God or this God. And you just put the God you want to there and that'll work out. That's what people think. But see, Jesus Christ is the only way to God tonight. And they had no knowledge of Him. And that's why he said your altar says to an unknown God, because they did not know God, friend. That's right. Thank God I'm going to know him tonight. And he got talking to them. He talked to them in their language. Talked about the world and how it's made. And he don't dwell in temple made with hands. Thank God. He's not in your sculptures. He's not in your temples. Thank God he dwells in the temple of the body of the believer. Amen. He's not worshiped with men's hands. He gives life and breath. He hath made one blood of all nations. See them and crowd there in Greece. They thought that they was an exceptional race of people. That they thought that they were better than all the races of people on earth. In fact, they said they got blue blood. Amen. It wasn't like nobody else. I tell you what God's man said. He said, your blood's like anybody else. You're a sinner like anybody else. It don't matter how you cut it, amen. It don't matter how you drain it out. It's all the same. It's sinful blood. And God gave men one blood. Amen. Through Adam. Thank God tonight. And friend, I'm telling you this to the sinful parents that sinned against God defiled. The blood God put in his veins. That says them men have been a sinner because their parents are unrighteous and sinners, and men are sinners tonight to the fullest. Amen. That's right. So that's what he's telling them right there. He said God's determined times before appointed. He talked about the sovereignty of God there and the bounds of their habitation. Then he told them about seeking the Lord and talked to them about their own poets. And then he said to them in verse 29, he said, God is not like gold or silver or stone graven by art man's device. What he was saying there was, you know how to paint, talk, you know how to carve things, you know how to be a philosopher, but about God and eternity, you're ignorant. Amen. And this is what he said in verse 30. He said, in times past, God weakened that. In other words, God overlooked your ignorance then, but now he don't. And now he commands all men everywhere to repent. That's what he said to that religious crowd. And he talked about the appointed day of judgment. He talked about how Christ had been risen from the dead. And he talked about that crowd and how they responded to the message. And I want to try to preach it just a little while tonight on that verse number 22. Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. You know that word superstitious tonight means that you're just overly religious in your belief. Now, if you look up that word, I looked it up. It means this. It means excessive in religious opinions. Full of idle fancies. False religion and worship. Superstitious of rites and observances. That they were in religious form. And they were superstitious about what they did. They had no certainty. They had doubt of what they were doing. But they were in the form or observant of a rite that was not of God. I'm telling you, we live in a lost world tonight. People that don't know nothing about being saved, don't know nothing about having a new birth experience. All they got is a religious form. That's a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. As Baptist churches tonight, you can join just by clicking your fingers. Amen. Not testifying of being saved. I never have had a new birth. I never have had an experience with God. And friend and I, they're just too superstitious. They're too religious. This crowd here was. I'm telling you, we got it tonight in the church and in America tonight. This is a religious day that don't know nothing about God tonight. If you talk to the majority of people in this world, they don't have an idea of what being saved is. They don't have a clue. We got people seated in this church tonight. They couldn't give a good description of how the experience they have with God, about being saved and the Holy Ghost working on them and bringing them to an altar of repentance. A lot of people don't have nothing but mama's religion, our daddy's religion, or my friend, or husband, or wife's religion. They don't know what it is to be born again. And all they are is over religious. They're superstitious. Amen. They got doubts tonight. And they never have passed from death unto life. I tell you, that's the same way that crowd was. They had a bunch of religion, but they didn't know the true and living God. I tell you tonight, friend, thank God we're living in an hour that men are coached and talked into being saved. You can't talk a man into being saved. The gospel's got to deal with him. He's got to be drawn by the Holy Ghost. And listen, you can't plan a miracle. A miracle's done by God. You just have to act upon what God says. But the miracle's a work of the God of heaven. And that miracle must be performed. And when it is, thank God, you'll be like the one with the issue of blood that she felt within her. Thank God that the work had been done. Amen. That's right. There's a turn in somebody when they get saved. There's a turn in them. That's right. They turned from idols to serve the living God. We live in a nation of idolatry. America's ate up with idolatry. Men are ate up with sensualism. Idolatry's in this land tonight. And men are moved by idolatry. They don't know Christ. They don't know the pardon of sin. They don't know allegiance to Him. All they know is a religion. That's enough to keep them out of jail, but not out of hell tonight. Amen. That's right. And I won't say this, not only were them people too superstitious, but they were too sensual. The word sensual means it was sensual pleasure or gratification. Carnality. Things that oppose the spirit. Immorality, no shame. They would not blush. Jeremiah said they could not blush. The sensuality comes from the word senses. That you control by your senses. If it feels good, do it. If it tastes good, take it. Amen. If it sees good, thank God, look at it. You see your senses. Thank God, under the control of your life. I tell you, friend, tonight we're living in a sensual day. Our dress of girls got sensual. Amen. Even in the Baptist church, people dress like they're going, thank God, out to some picnic. And they have dress. And now we don't have that problem. But I've passed a sad day when the men have to put blinders on in the house of God to close their eyes of what women wear. I'll tell you, friend, there's enough filthiness in this world, and it ought not never be in the church house. Amen. They're sensual in this day. People think nothing about shacking up and never being married. They make no commitment. They live their life in a sensual way. We're living in a sensual day. If it feels good, do it. There's more drunkenness today than there ever has been. A grudge is a high of the day more it has been. Why? It's sensual. It's something that makes and gratifies my flesh. And God, my friend, He's a God of victory. And He'll give a man victory. Thank God that he's born again. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Amen. A sensual day. Let's listen to this. The Epicureans believed that their God was not only their self, but their pleasure. Notice this here. One man said this. He said they was given to gross sensualism. Grossness. It attracts the flesh. Strange things attract the flesh. Because the flesh is never satisfied. Proverbs said the eyes of man are never satisfied. It'll take you further. It don't matter who you are. Amen. Any of us tonight, if you get placed to it, then it's going to draw you away. Man's drawn away of his own lust. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. That's the way it is, friend. That's the way sin is. That's the way lust is. That's the way it is. That's why, thank God, these government officials today, my friend, back in homosexuals, and all the ungodly lifestyles, amen, they shack up. Amen, they have baby after baby, and the government funds it. And my friend, they'll have about five or six different men. It's a wicked day. It's corrupt. It's against the way of God. God put a mom and daddy together. That's the sad day we're living in. Thank God, they need to be raised by them. They need to be taught by them. But my friend, people live anyway. And the government, the U.S. government, it'll back any sinful lifestyle and call us a bunch of crazy people. Amen. That's right.
Amen. And still, the Bible said marriage is honorable now unto men undefiled. Whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. That's what the book says. We live in a sensual day. Everything's that geared that way. It's easy to be attracted that way and look that way. It is for everybody. Because it's appealing. But these people here, they didn't have no restraint of how they wanted to live. They lived the way they wanted to and didn't care. They pleased the flesh. They done what the flesh wanted to do. And that's how they lived. They lived a sensual life. They were too superstitious and they were too sensual. Amen. Yeah. They'll say this, they were too sighted. What's that mean, preacher? Well, two things to it. Number one is, in their sight, they thought they was what it took. They thought they had the answers. They were more educated than any people that Paul preached to. And they were a harder crowd to reach than any Paul preached to. And I'm going to tell you this tonight. I think everybody ought to go to high school and graduate and get an education. I think they ought to. I'm not going to free that up. But I'll tell you what. We got so much education today, it's about educated us to hell. But you know why? It's not the learning it is. It's what's being taught. It's who's teaching it to. A bunch of liberal, ungodly professors. People that deny God and the existence of God. Amen. And I tell you what, there's not many college campuses tonight that are not liberal, that don't teach a bunch of liberalism and pumping our young people a bunch of modernism and liberalism and hates God tonight and runs with anything against God. And we wonder why we're in the mess we are. That's the same thing that's going in that day. Amen. There's ignorant of God and there's a bunch of liberals there. Amen. I'm telling you, that friend, they was my friend, a bad sight, that's looking at things like they had her. Thank God all the knowledge, but they were a bunch of fools. Amen. The Bible said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I'll tell you something else, too. Not only did they think high of themselves, that education blinded them to the truth. Because the philosophy. Did my Paul talk about vain philosophy? He warned the church about vain philosophy. If it's not in the book, then don't follow it. But I'm going to tell you what, there's so many catchy things today that people grab a hold of and they'll follow that kind of stuff. And that's, listen, that's people's looking for something that will stir their emotions or stir their intellect. Listen. The charismatic movement isn't nothing but an emotional stir. It's not built off gospel truth. It's not built off the foundation of God. It's built off some kind of wild hair and wildfire that come up, that tongue's talking. It started back in 1830, I believe, sometime around then, maybe sometime back in then. And it started in the Isuzu mission out there. And some woman spoke in it and it took a whole lot of wildfire. And now tonight, friend, these Pentecostal churches isn't nothing but a band of a bunch of wildfire. I don't know nothing about God. I don't know nothing about being saved. All they know is some emotional mess. Amen. Tongue talking. Thank God most of them women and God. Man, Paul had a rebuke of them in 1 Corinthians about speaking that in a tongue. He said, be quiet. Don't say nothing. If you got anything that you want to know, ask your husband at home. Because they was out of order. That's the whole thing. The women was out of order. They were standing up speaking in some tongue. And God's man said no. He said that everything ought to be done to the edification of the church. I'd rather speak five words to understand 10,000 unknown tongues. He said, what prophet is that? He said, these people's lost. Come in and say, these people's mad. Hey, they don't know nothing about God. He said, praise God. If God's in the place, they'll say God's in the place because the Holy Ghost would be there and magnify Christ. Thank God that in the day of Acts, thank God when they spoke in tongues, they're speaking in a little dialected language, the gospel that men could be saved. Amen. That's right. Thank God it wasn't, my friend. This kind of jibber-jabber junk they're going on today. The charismatic movement is nothing but flesh. That's all it's built off of. It's built off people that can work a crowd. They talk about externals more than they do internals. They don't talk about the heart of man. They don't talk about, thank God, what the Holy Ghost does in a man to draw him to Christ. They talk about, listen, you want to give? That's like that one old boy. Thank God he come to work one morning. He said, I talked to him about God. He said, I need to get saved. I said, you do? He said, yeah. He said, will you talk to me? I said, I'll tell you what the Bible says. We went back in the back of the plant. He read the Bible and he said, I'm just going to get down here and get saved. I said, well, if God deal with you, then call on him. He'll save you if you want him. Amen. He got there and got saved. I mean, got the Baptist church done right. And he got hooked up with some girls going to Church of God. And he said, I'm going to church. I said, you better watch that crowd. That's that modern Church of God. It ain't like him old Church of God people. And I tell you what he done. He went down in that on a Saturday night meeting. I can tell you, he went to a Saturday night meeting. I can tell you the church he went to. And he got down there and that preacher said, don't you want the gift of tongues? That's what he said. He said, don't you want the gift of tongues? And that fellow said, yeah, I'd like to have it if God wants me to have it. He said, that fellow got down and he is praying sincerely in his heart. He's telling me this. He said he got to praying asking God to give him the gift of tongues. And he said when he got down there, he couldn't get nothing. And the preacher got down there and said, have you got it yet? He said, no. He said, you got to help it along. He knew then, he said, you don't have to help God do nothing. If he wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. Amen. Amen. That's right. It wasn't nothing but a bunch of flesh. That's all it was. It wasn't no God in it. I'm telling you tonight, it's just a superficial thing. There's no God in it, friend. I'm telling you tonight, we're living in a day of charisma. We're living in a day of emotions. People want to feel good, but feeling good's in the Holy Ghost in a man's heart. Amen. That's right. God help us. We live in that day. That's what people want. And then people want teaching today more than they do preaching. That's what they want. That's right. Teaching. They don't want no preaching. They don't want no rebuke. They want teaching. I like teaching. But I'm telling you what, our country's about died on it. But you know why? Because these men are lawyers. Because these men know how to talk. Yeah. And I'm going to say this. I'm not saying everything that these men on the radio say is wrong, but they don't use the right Bible most of the time. You say, preacher, you know, you think that man can't teach you because he wouldn't use... I'm not saying that man might not give me a nugget, but I'll tell you what, he don't have the power of God if he don't have the right book.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, I've told you all this before. When I got saved, I was very shallow. I didn't know a whole lot. I just knew God had saved me. And I went and bought, God help me and don't hold this against me. I bought a New King James Bible. And I went to Sunday school and that fellow said, everybody, let's take time to read. And when I got to me, I said, my Bible ain't sounding like theirs is. The Holy Ghost told me that wasn't the Bible. That's what he told me. Even the preacher was a little liberal. And he said, oh, there's nothing really wrong with that Bible. That's what he said. But the Holy Ghost told me it was. You know what I done? That's how he bought me a Bible. Amen. I got me an old KJV, Thompson Chain Bible. Amen. I started reading out of that because I knew that was the Word of God.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you this tonight, friend. We've gotten a day where we want to educate people mentally, but there's no heart in it. And what we've done, we've took philosophy. We've took these teachers having itch and ears. They won't stand against nothing no more. They won't preach against sin. And I'm telling you, when we don't have that rebuke and preaching and telling men the way the Bible says it, we won't have no conviction. God help us. I'm telling you, they was two-sided. They was educated, but they was ignorant. Wonder what God said over there in 1 Corinthians 1. He said, not many wise according to the flesh. You know why? Because it's a spiritual book. It's not learned by natural man. It's spiritual teaching. I'm in a spiritual kingdom. I'm not in a fleshly kingdom.
Amen.
This ain't a classroom tonight, thank God, like I went to Easter Island and somebody stood up there and tried to teach me history. Some people ain't got enough to start. Bill Clinton could get up somewhere and read the Bible and they'd say, that sounded good.
Yeah.
I thought about that. Why don't we get on politics tonight?
That's all right.
You know what? It's amazing to me. I mean, it's amazing to me. It's very amazing to me. How people say they love God and save, and they would vote for a platform that backed gay marriage. And I won't stand flat-footed and tell you if you don't like me, that's all right. I'm going to tell you the way it is. I'll stand flat-footed and look at you eyeball to eyeball and tell you if you could vote for a man that backed gay marriage and abortion, I'm telling you what, you ain't right with God.
Amen.
He said he say that, he did.
Amen.
And we'll say it again.
Amen.
You can't. There's no way. There's no way that you could have a clear conscience and go in a vote and move, amen, and strike a politician that stood up and backed two men marrying one another and two women marrying one another. You could not do it. You couldn't do it with God, and you can't do it with a clear conscience in that. And I tell you, you can't justify it. I don't care my grandpa or grandma. I don't care what they were. In fact, there's all Democrats. FDR sold them up. They've swallowed hook, line, sinker. You know what he done? He brought liquor in. They don't care. You know what? It just didn't glorify God. They bragged on him instead of God. They swallowed it all. I told my grandpa, he was saved. You know, he got saved, come here to church. He's gone to be the Lord. Now he's my hero. Has raised that Democrat stuff. I said, you surely ain't going to vote for old Clinton. I said, you just wouldn't do it. Boy, I preached it to him. He'd come back. I said, who'd you vote for? He said, I voted for old Ross Perot. That's what he said. That's better than Clinton. Amen. That's right. Hey, God. That's right. I'm going to tell you what, this world, I mean, they so ignorant of the truth and ignorant of God, and they think, man, this because they go to a church somewhere or they got Dr. Bottle Stopper behind the pulpit or Dr. Fahrenheit and our preacher's got all these degrees and he takes the old people to, thank God, to the restaurant and takes the young people down there to the, thank God, to the balloons and all that mess. He's just right. They don't say nothing about spirituality, the Holy Ghost, what the man of God believes, what the church believes. It's all what's a benefit to them. Hey, that's just ignorance, friend. Hey, God, when a man looks for a church because of what the young people's got, I tell you what, he's deceived.
Yeah.
Looks what the Holy Ghost has got for the church and the family and the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
So I kept, woman called me that one time, wanting to know if I had children at church. I said, every service.
Yeah.
I said, every service.
That's right.
She come in. She said, where's it at? I said, right here. She wanted a babysitting age. She didn't want no God.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
My mama pieced the fire to me when I was growing up. I'd take him little old offering things and write ball teams on it and wonder who was going to win the game that day and put predictions on it and all that. And she just looked over there and all she had to do, yeah. And I mean, now you know what that meant? When I got home, you was going to get it. You're gonna get the paddle. Amen. I tell you what, friend, thank God. What did they do in the Bible? Thank God did Paul take them all and say, hey, Silas, take these young people there. Thank God and give them a puppet show and do all these other things. That's why they don't know nothing about God, know nothing about worship, know nothing about old time preaching. They got them all somewhere else, giving them a game. Thank God and a cookie and a coke. It's still the Holy Ghost and the preaching of the Word of God. And that's why we're in a mess today. They're ignorant of God. They're ignorant of the Bible. They don't know nothing about it. Thank God, I tell you what, I'd put these young people up against about anybody. Thank God to know something about God, know something about the Bible. I tell you, church ain't for games and fun. Anybody thinks church is for fun, thank God they ought to go join the circus. Amen. That's where fun is. It ain't in the church. I'd hate anybody to leave here and say, we had fun tonight. That's something pleasure produces. I leave here and say, thank God we had the joy of Jesus tonight. We have something in our heart. Thank God the Holy Ghost give us. I'm glad He came around. I want to meet with Christ. Thank God I want to see Him. I want Him to manifest Himself. I want Him to show up. Thank God. That's right. That's what it's about. We're just two-sided. You know what that means too? We live by sight, not by faith. It's what they were seeing. Wasn't no faith in it. And I don't say this and I'm through tonight. I ain't got no title to the message. You can title it too superstitious or whatever you want to. But I'll tell you what. They were too stubborn. Let me give you an example. What's this man doing here preaching these strange gods to us? We know more than he does. He hadn't been to Athens University. He hadn't been down to the marketplace long to hear what we got to say. What's he down here preaching these strange gods? We know more than he does. Stubborn.
Uh-huh.
Amen. I tell you what they say about Baptist people. Why are they always harping on God to be saved, born again? Because you stubborn. You got a stiff neck, what it is. You don't want to heed to what God says. That's why it said some mocked. I don't believe that. You only believe what you do. That's right.
Amen.
Better put that down. Man asked me today, he said, what is a believer? I said, a man that believes and does what he believes. I'm going to tell you what. When that old man of God says, you've got to be born again, I believe what he said.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when that man said, you've got to come to Christ, I did because I believe what he said. Stubborn. Hey, Ma, some other said, we'll hear you another time. In other words,
yeah.
Move on.
That's
a nice way of putting it. You know, that's the way people do. Move on. Stubborn. Even Stephen said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart.
Yep.
He preached to that crowd. And then I'll tell you this, some believe, though. But can I tell you what I believe in this text right here? I believe Paul, when he left out of there, can I say this? I really believe this. I believe when Paul left at Athens, he is glad.
Yeah.
Not that more than more people say it, I believe he's just glad he's going somewhere where somebody want to hear it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, there's not a whole lot of people want to hear it.
Yeah.
That's right. That's why he said Thessalonians, man, he'd done a work there. People got saved. You read the book of Thessalonians, them people was far as a church that had a heart for Paul, it was the Thessalonians. They gave to him. They kept giving to him. Philippians. They gave to him. They kept giving to him. But this crowd here, we never find the church was established there. There were some that believed in Clay and went with him. But there were so many that opposed him because of their intellect and their ignorance. And I like what he said. He said, God ain't going to wink at y'all no more. He ain't over that word wink there means he overlooked some of that ignorance you have. He command you now to repent. And that word repent means Paul is preaching repentance. That means you're going to have to think differently about what I'm preaching and who Christ is. And you're going to have to make a change and turn toward God. And that means, listen, if you turn toward God, you're going to turn away from everything else. And you're going to turn to Him. That's what He meant to the Thessalonians. He said, ye serve the true and living God, turn from idols. That's right. I'll tell you one thing, He'll take nothing less than repentance and faith. The repentance and faith is required. And it's a grace and gift of God through the preaching of the Word and the Spirit of God, applying the truth to your heart as you act upon that Word of God. God will do it upon His working, but you'll have to act upon what He tells you. And that's my faith. That's right. Are you too superstitious? Hey, there's a lot of people like that. And I ain't even got off the foolish I hadn't even got on the foolish superstitions that people have today in this land. Listen to me. I don't believe in none of it. I believe in the true and living God that's in control of my life. And that's who I bow to and trust day by day. Amen. And that's why I can sing and shout. Because I've been redeemed. Thank God. Amen. I'm glad I believe. Amen. I'm glad I'm a believer, Brother Redmond.
Amen.
And I started 29 years ago about. And I still believe in tonight.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, if you believe then, you believe now.
Right.
You know, people say this, they say, you know, I used to believe the Bible. No, you never did. If you believe then, you believe it now. And you ought to have added to your faith since you had faith in Christ. Thank God. This here's the answer, brother. And that's what we preach, Christ and Him crucified. And I'm glad, thank God or not, that He took me out of a religious society into a saving grace. It's able to keep me to the day of Christ's return. Amen. Let's pray. Father, use your word.